We have wineries and vineyards in Connecticut, and I didn't know that some weather that didn't even, no pun intended, come across my radar was hugely impactful to some vineyards in the central part of the state. I read the piece in by Christian Metzger in CT Insider, and we just want to talk about it a little more because I didn't really, and I think our vineyards and wineries don't get enough credit and attention, so... Jim Gatcom from Gouveia Vineyards joining us in Wallingford. Jim, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thanks for coming on. Just explain to people what happened to this year's crop.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me. The hailstorm a few weeks ago that came through this part of the state hit a lot of farms, especially ours got hit with hail and wind. Our vineyard sits atop a hill, and the name of the road is actually Whirlwind Hill Road. So we're always dealing with wind up here, and sometimes it's our friend, and sometimes it's our foe for sure. This time around, we lost a lot of leaves off of our vines, and the leaves, the canopy on the grapevines are what helps ripen the grape through the process. It's called veraison. And essentially what happened to us was, a lot of our grapes stalled out and they're ripening. You need to get a certain percentage of alcohol, you need a certain percentage of sugar in the grapes, and we are not getting that. So we're not going to be able to make, the quality that we're looking to make. Normally, grapes, you like to see them come in, between 19-20 to 22. Out in California, they get upwards of 26 bricks. For us, we like right around 22 is perfect for us for the amount of alcohol that we want to get into the wine. And a lot of them are kind of stalled out, like 15, 16 bricks.
What's a brick, by the way?
So a brick is just essentially the measurement of how much
sugar.
Okay. is in the fruit itself.
So was the crop a total loss? I mean, you have to throw it all out? Like, what happens?
So what happened was a few... weeks ago, my wife posted on Facebook that we were not going to be having our community harvest this year. Usually we have, hundreds of volunteers come out, and it's a wonderful day. We celebrate the Portuguese heritage. My father-in-law, immigrated here from Portugal in the 60s when he was just 15 years old. He had a cousin that worked for the water company that is out behind our property in Wallingford, and he always used to drive out here. And back when this farm was a vegetable farm, he used to say, I'm going to buy that farm one day and I'm going to build a vineyard there, like when he was like 15 years old. So it's just, we usually have a wonderful day on harvest day. It's a big celebration. It's kind of like his Christmas to him, it's his biggest holiday.
Right.
But we knew that the grapes, we were going to have to get them off the vine fast because some of them were damaged from the hail and starting to rot, and if you get bunch rot in the grapes, that can kind of spread and kill any decent looking clusters that you have. So that was why we had to go through with our own professionals that work here year round and pick what we wanted and decide what we were going to put into the wine, versus having, hundreds of volunteers and kind of putting that burden on them.
So what's the percentage of, what's the percentage of grapes that made it through, like 25, 30, 40?
We're yet to still find out. We're about halfway through picking the vineyard, and the numbers from last year are slightly down. But like I said, I mean the it's really more of the quality that we lost versus the quantity. The quantity, there's still plenty of fruit on the vine, and it all has to come off the vine, regardless of whether it's good or bad. It all has to get picked and come off.
Right.
Some of it will end up, we don't know what that percentage is yet, but some of it will end up being thrown out, and some of it will be used to make wine. But like I said, if you don't have the sugars and you don't have the flavors, you end up having to buy other grapes from different wine regions, whether it be the Finger Lakes or California, and blend them to get the quality that you're looking for. So it's definitely a costly endeavor.
We're talking with Jim Gatcom from Gouveia Vineyards in Wallingford. So it's not a total loss, but it's certainly a disappointing season. Is that the best way to summarize?
Yeah, for sure.
I'm just curious, can I ask, so go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say it's, we just have to it just makes it tougher to make the kind of quality that we're looking for. Right. And definitely more expensive.
So I'm curious, because I don't know a ton about like the Connecticut climate relative. I think of like, okay, when you look into what you like Sonoma and Chardonnay and like Willamette and Pinot Noir, like what grows great in Connecticut?
Hybrid grapes grow great in Connecticut. Back when Thomas Jefferson was starting to grow, they would bring Vitis vinifera, the European wine grape that, you find all over Europe and, especially like the Bordeaux, Burgundy regions of France and parts of Italy, Spain, Portugal. They brought those grapes over and tried to plant them, and then they were hit with phylloxera, which is a bug that will destroy the entire grape product from the root up. So they realized that they couldn't make wine with the native grapes that were here, so they ended up took those native grape rootstocks and they grafted the Vitis vinifera from Europe and started creating these hybrid grapes. So American rootstocks and European trunks, and they found some success with that over the years, and they've just continued to develop it. A lot of the grapes that we plant, come out of places like University of Minnesota and Cornell, where they are able to find strains of grapes that will do, they'll stand up to, cold and the damp, wet, winters, and then also these humid summers, where we get a lot of rain and then a lot of heat and then a lot of rain and a lot of heat. And that ends up, for the vinifera, like the standard Chardonnays and Merlots and Cabernets and so forth, those are not as resistant to downy mildew, powdery mildew, all sorts of disease that can attack the grapevine in different ways, whether it be the actual fruit itself or the trunk or the leaves.
Well, the hybrids
will come in. Yeah, so like Cayuga, Traminette, Sauvignon Blanc, a lot of them are created that are really resistant to a lot of the problems that we have.
Well, first of all, I just got to tell people it's a beautiful spot, and your facility is open like every day for people to come sample. It's Gouvea Vineyards. If it's Gouveia Vineyards.com, and we're talking with Jim Gatcombe. I guess my last question here, we're a little bit tight on time, and their dogs. I love any farm or vineyard with dogs.
You could bring whatever you want for dogs. Keep them on a leash and pick up after them.
I see them in the pictures. You must have a couple that live with you on the farm. But what's the best wine you got? Like, I know they're all your babies, but what is, like, if I was looking at everything you had, what would be the one you would have me sample?
We're most part of our estate Cabernet Franc, that we just won gold at the Big E for that. So that's selling really well. Our Vino Tinto, which is a red blend, doing really well and tasting really well right now. My favorite white grape, I'm a fan of German whites, so I like the Traminette, which is like a cousin of the Gewürztraminer. I don't know if you've ever had that grape. Mm-mm. But I like the Traminette. Cabernet Franc are my two favorite right now.
Nice. Well, listen, I hope people check it out, and I hope next season goes better and you find the right grapes to round it out. I know you probably like to make it all from your own, so that's frustrating.
Yeah.
That's frustrating, I'm sure. It's great to make the connection. Anytime you guys got something going on, just let us know. We're happy to talk about it.
Thank you so much. Pleasure.
Have a great day.